Are we losing all the gains in Iraq as well?
Too soon to tell.
Quit talking about Iraq. I don't think that country exists anymore, and it's certainly not going to exist in the future.
Are you or are you not going to provide this committee all of Lois Lerner's emails?
We are already starting a process. Yes, we will do that.
Anytime the IRS is involved, it's a real scandal.
Until they cough up the evidence, it's hard to presume anything other than a cover-up.
When Americans are attacked, no matter how long it takes, we will find those responsible and we will bring them to justice.
When we capture these high-value targets, we need to detain them and extract every ounce of intelligence from them. But this administration is simply not willing to do that.
If I were president and we have enough evidence to successfully prosecute him in our courts, I would say then I'm ready to give the order.
This was a thriller of a match. Team USA's Clint Dempsey stunned Ghana with a goal in the opening 29 seconds, which is good because most Americans' attention span for soccer is 30 seconds.
Well, there you go. Stephen Colbert having some fun with soccer. We'll discuss that later. Let's talk with Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, a congressman from Florida. Welcome back, Congressman.
Hey, how you doing, Brian? Good to be with you.
Hey, good to be with you. I'm glad you're here. First off, to Michael Hayden, who is located in the middle of the montage, former NSA CIA director, says Iraq as we know it is done. It's over. Do you agree?
Yes, I do, because I believe that we missed the window of opportunity when we should have left a residual force, which would have put pressure on al-Maliki to not align himself more so with Iran and purge a lot of the Sunni military leaders that we had put in place there, and, you know, would have kept him as an honest citizen and would have prevented, you know, ISIS or any other type of Islamic insurgent terrorist group to cross the border and come back and influence the situation. So I think that we need to look at how we shape new alliances. The Kurds have always been pro-American, pro-Western, but we definitely don't need to sit down at the table with Iran.
Right. That's interesting because Senator Graham told me yesterday that we should talk to Iran about protecting Baghdad.
Why would we want to talk to the number one state sponsor of terrorism? Why would we want to talk with the country that was responsible going all the way back to 1983 with the Beirut bombing attack that killed our Marines there or has supported Hezbollah over the years? Why would we want to give Iran a foothold in Iraq to extend their regional hegemonic dominance that will go from Iran through Iraq or whatever it will become over to Syria and then into Lebanon? That is insidious.
Well, his point was we did a deal with Stalin to stop Hitler.
Well, you know something? If you think that, first of all, Hitler turned on Stalin and that caused Stalin to take up arms against Germany. But many people eventually realized that, got in bed with the devil and look what happened with the Soviet Union and the Cold War that ensued after that. If Lindsey Graham is trying to say he's ready for, it won't be a Cold War, it'll be a very hot war, then I look forward to him being on the battlefield to go back and deal with the decisions that he had made. But the first thing that the Iranians will ask, all sanctions be taken off the table. And are we willing to do that?
I think this president would. Now, today he's got a meeting with congressional leaders, what they are characterizing as a true collaboration. The president's not walking in with a plan to inform them. He wants to get their input. That, for me, is the first time I've ever heard that. Number two is, why are you taking so long?
Well, this is what you have a person in President Obama that voted present countless amounts of times as a state senator in Illinois, as a U.S. senator. He does not want to have any culpability, any responsibility or accountability. You saw, you know, with the whole red line thing in Syria, when people kind of push back and vault, well, you know, President, you said this is your red line. Well, it's not my red line. It's everybody else's red line. It's the international red line. So what he is going to try to do is to get others to sign on the dotted line. And, again, this is leading from behind, even here in our own country, where he can't say, I'm the president, the buck stops here, I'm the commander-in-chief, this is my strategic decision. I'd like to, let you guys know about it, but this is what we're going forward with.
Obviously, I agree with you on those topics, and that's actually what's taking place. But on Friday, when all these Iraqi cities in the Anbar province begin to fall and Baghdad is being threatened, the president speaks at UC Irvine, does three fundraisers, visits an Indian reservation. On Monday, on Tuesday, rather, he had three fundraisers in New York, ripped, just tore up traffic. Nobody got home within 2 hours of their would-be arrival time for no reason. So he could do fundraisers for an election he's not going to be in. And now today he's meeting. The Iraqi ambassador to the U.S. said, we had to have this done yesterday, meaning this is way overdue. And we're losing our tanks and Humvees and ammunition because these Iraqi troops are dropping their uniforms and leaving the stuff we gave them.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. What should have immediately happened, there are only a few road networks that are capable of transporting large convoys of vehicles. We should have been hitting ISIS, and definitely we should be destroying the convoys that are taking these Humvees and tanks and other things back to the ISIS base of operations, staging areas in northern Iraq or even in northern Syria. If they're not respecting the borders, then we can't respect the borders between Syria and Iraq. But as well, you saw President, and you forgot to mention that the Russian separatists shot down a Ukrainian military transport over the weekend, killing 49. The president is disengaged. The president is not thinking about, what truly is happening in the greater world situation because of his lack of credibility. He's only thinking about his legacy going forth. I mean, maybe he's raising money for his quote-unquote library, but he has not taken any accountability for the failure of Pax Obama.
Yeah. I got to bring it to the IRS. It turns out Lois Lerner lost 2 years of emails, 24,000 of them, and so did about eight other higher-ups in the IRS. Here's Darrell Issa, Cut 14.
We're tired of, in fact, being misled or lied to. In this case, the American people clearly were targeted for their belief and their free speech by a president and an IRS who disagreed with a Supreme Court decision known as Citizens United. That's at the core of all this. The emails we have, Elizabeth, show that, in fact, these people were trying to overturn a Supreme Court decision and target conservative groups because they don't like what conservatives say.
How is he going to get away with, why do they expect in 2014 for us to believe that emails just don't exist for 2 years?
Well, this will be a great time for the NSA to step forward and show us that they've been collecting on the federal government. Everyone out there knows that this is a joke. Even my two daughters, 21 and 17, are saying, what are you talking about? You lost emails. Nothing is lost out there. And as well, Brian, the federal government is required by law to maintain hard copies of, emails and correspondence for up to 2 years. So, that's another avenue of approach. Are they trying to tell us that they destroyed the hard copies of these emails? So who did she send emails to? We should go after those people. But you're right. Lois Lerner and six other individuals have all of a sudden the computer crashed and we can't find their emails. This is a lawless administration. I don't see how anyone can try to defend this. I mean, even Hillary Clinton last night on the interview on Fox, she couldn't call it a phony scandal. So she realizes that something is amiss here.
Here she is, Cut 13.
I think that anytime the IRS is involved, for many people, it's a real scandal. And I think, though, that there are some challenges that rightly need to be made to what is being said. And I assume that the inquiry will continue. So I don't have the details, but I think what President Obama means there is there really wasn't a lot of, evidence that this was deliberate, but that's why the investigation needs to continue.
Well, the other element, Abu Qatala, yesterday was announced he was apprehended. He was actually apprehended a couple of days ago by Delta Force. Mm-hmm. They were trained at Fort Bragg, ready to go for a year. The president gave him the go sign Friday. Why the delay?
Come on, Brian. You've been up there in New York. You've been in this news game quite some time. This is the whole wag the dog thing, when you have so many other things that are going bad. And unfortunately, this is what the president thought he would have a good news story with the Bo Berg doll release and brought the family up there to the Rose Garden. That backfired on him. 642 days from the attack in Benghazi to the time when we get one guy. One guy who has been giving interviews, one guy who has been, seen out in public and everything, and now all of a sudden the American people are supposed to believe that he is the mastermind. And furthermore, he's an unlawful enemy combatant. He's not some right. civilian criminal. This is not a police action. Why are we going to read him Miranda rights, get him lawyered up, and bring him back here? And even if you convict him, he goes into prison and he works on converting other people in prison to go out and commit jihad against the United States. His butt should be down in Guantanamo Bay, and we should extract intelligence from him.
I guess so. We're going to eventually end up in a New York courtroom. It'll be a slow cruise, so we'll ask some questions. Had Michael Hayden feeling a little bit better that this is a mini rendition, but he does belong in Gitmo. That would certainly be great. But I just have a problem, Congressman, with the fact that we've had Greg Palcott, one of those international reporters from CNN, and the New York Times all interview Khatala over the last 3 or 2 years. He was available. He said he would even talk to U.S. authorities. He just would not submit to an interrogation. So we can't pretend as if this is some huge get.
No, you cannot pretend, but the Obama administration, I read the New York Times piece today, they needed this good news story. But once again, as you peel back the surface, it's not really a good news story. It's more of a, why did it take so long? And I even heard someone say that, well, they needed this time to build the legal case. That is an abject reflection of incompetence if you needed 643 days to build up a legal case.
Just so you know, the New York Times interviewed him on the 18th of October, 2012. Is that amazing?
Yeah.
July 13th, CNN interviewed him, 2013. Associated Press, August 7th, 2013. And then he spoke to Fox News' Greg Palcott 1 month after the attack. Mm-hmm. This guy was having mimosas at a party. So we can't act like we just dragged him out of a mud hut.
No, you're absolutely right. But then again, he ends up being the Obama administration fall guy, just the same as the poor guy who produced the quote-unquote anti-Islamic video. It was really interesting to hear Hillary Clinton, you know, stumble and mumble over the question that Brett Baer asked her last night about, you know, the whole story behind the video. This is all smoke and mirrors. It's all distraction. It's all wag the dog stuff coming out of the Obama administration. While we have a serious situation going on in Baghdad, we have a serious situation going on our southern border.
Well, let alone what's happening through the whole area. And Congressman, lastly, have you decided what you're doing next?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm going to be up there Friday to hang around with some of you guys at Fox. So I'll see you then.
Oh, you're just going to hang out in the lunchroom? What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm going to hang. I'm serving sandwiches. I'm looking at a new job.
You know, you're an officer, young man. You are not serving sandwiches. Maybe at one point, not anymore. I got to ask you one thing about your service. It's killing me to hear people talk about the Iraq War as a dumb war. We remember the circumstances that led into it. Nobody lied about weapons of mass destruction. That means Mubarak lied about it. The Germans lied about it. The French lied about it. Bill Clinton lied about it. Al Gore lied about it. Joe Biden lied about it. That means everybody lied about it. So,
yeah,
as a guy who fought this war, what do you say to your guys you serve with and who serve for you when all these pundits get on and like to say things like that?
Well, the fact is that we know that we took an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States of America. And, you know, that's what we did. We served honorably. We went and we fought and defended the interests of our country, but we fought for each other. And so the pundits who have never been out there, they're not part of our band of brothers. They're not part of our brotherhood of soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and Coast Guardsmen who, you know, were willing to give that last full measure of devotion. We could care less what the pundits say. But what it does show is the politicization, because they keep saying that this was Bush's war. Well, for a soldier, it's America's war. And that's why we are called to defend this great nation.
Thank you. Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, we'll see you Friday.
Absolutely, buddy. Take
care.
All right.
Thanks for your time.